The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. We were in Albuquerque most of the weekend. Water polo dad, which was fun. And from a distance, there were things that were happening. Chubba Purdy ended up committing not to Arizona State, so the Sun Devil fans losing their minds. Alex Barcelo is transferring out of U of A. U of A basketball fans, tell you what, point guard situation was a spot of strength. Nico's going to play a ton. It wasn't just because Alex. They're banged up. We're going to talk about the point guard situation. But Alex Barcelo announcing this morning he is leaving U of A. I have some thoughts on that, a little bit deeper dive later in the show. The U.S. Women's World Cup team is playing as we speak against Spain. The Diamondbacks were not good until yesterday. And the Dodgers, who might win the West by, I don't know, 30, are in town tonight. There are going to be so many Dodger fans. Like, you know how it is when the Cubs roll in, or if it's the Lakers when they're good, which has been a while. These front-running bandwagon teams, fans, on teams that, you know, when they're good, that's when they show up. Man, tonight's just going to be blue everywhere. It's going to be, ugh. Because they're good. When they're not good, they don't show up. They're a bunch of bandwagon jumpers. That's what you all are. So, and Kawhi Leonard, I'm going to get into Kawhi Leonard and NBA free agency. We were off on Friday, so I did not have a chance to. I wrote about the Suns and their draft, and I'm one of, like, I don't know, one or two that liked what ended up happening because I will give you the because in a bit because most of you just want instant. And I don't know, it's June 24th. So I'll weigh in on that shortly in free agency and much, much more. Opening comments brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. And that's with life insurance. When I say Sagicor Now and life insurance, that means they're part of the community. Last Wednesday, Positive Coaching Alliance, a terrific organization. Sagicor was one of the big sponsors. They gave out a triple impact scholarship to a bunch of kids involved in the community. Their CEO was there. Their COO was there. This wasn't just some PR person showing up, handing out certificates and calling it a day. No, that's not who Sagicor is. They're involved from start to finish. I have my license. It's been great having Sagicor in my life where I can help people out too. All you've got to do is log on, get your free quote, go to Sagicor Now. And check out and make sure your life insurance is where it needs to be or start purchasing it and building it for all sorts of different avenues. That's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Our chairman of the board today is the Iron Man, Jared Nielsen. Eric Sorensen is in the house, senior executive vice president of everything. You tried something new over the weekend that I want to talk to you about in a little bit. You don't have to chime in now if you don't want to, working feverishly behind the scenes. But Eric actually did something different, so I want to get to him on that. Albuquerque, if I look a little red in the face, so I'm not used to green and red chili that just burns. So I did a bunch of it this weekend. I'm probably going to have to go see a gastrologist. Is that how you say it? Somebody who deals not with gas, but somebody who deals with your food and when it's hot food. What is the term for that? Not a gastrologist. I cracked you up. Like, Eric, what do you... I got to go see a doctor for my
stomach. Gastroenterologist.
There you go. Jared would know this because he's been dealing with
stuff. He's the one that told me.
Yeah, yeah. So have you ever just eaten food that's so dang hot your head sweats?
No, and I've also never heard anyone compare and contrast in one word an gastro doctor and like an astronaut.
But I don't know.
You managed to pull that off.
It's
so
Monday.
Congratulations.
I'm very talented, multi-skilled. Man, that food is hot. But water polo was fun. It's fun being a water polo dad. Yeah, I've got a 14-year-old. He's into that. He's into football. He's into all sorts of things. So it was cool seeing that sport. I wish that sport were bigger here in Arizona. But for some reason, the AIA hasn't figured out that there's a pool on every corner and making it a high school sport. We can do beach volleyball and we can build beach volleyball courts. It's great. It's fine. But we can't figure out how to get water polo going, even though they already have the pools. It just takes a couple nets and a ball. And it's a great workout. You football coaches, basketball coaches, don't have your guys run up and down and pound their cartilage that they don't have much of. It's my little rant for the day on this. So that was great. It's good to be back. I think the most interesting story to me today is U of A basketball. You know, I put down notes of things that I want to talk about, but in the last hour, Alex Barcelo transferred out of the program. He put it out on social media. For those of you who aren't aware of Alex, Alex was one of the best high school guards that I've seen come out of the state. I think when we talk about high school guards, the guard position in the bigs. So bigs, it's pretty easy. We have Marvin Bagley, who's rolled in. I wasn't big on how that whole thing happened. He was a teammate of Alex's over at Corona del Sol, one of the best teams I've ever seen put together. Alex decided he was going to go to U of A. He goes to U of A. He barely plays at U of A. He said no to Virginia. He said no to Stanford. And I don't know if he has a love to even continue to play the game as I sit here today. I don't know if he is going to retire. I don't know that he is. It wouldn't surprise me. Let's just put it that way. Based on what I'm hearing, based on who I've talked to, it wouldn't surprise me if he never plays again. And that'll be a 30 for 30 because there's a lot behind that story. But it's and U of A, if you're a U of A fan, first of all, I've already said this. I think Sean's going to get a couple games at the start of the year for everything that has happened behind the scenes. I really believe that. And actually, I think there should be some sort of you've embarrassed the conference. This isn't all media driven, Sean. You may want to pretend it is, but it's not. So there's going to be something that comes down from what I've heard. I don't think it's going to be anything major, but look, Armstrong leaves. He goes to go play. He goes overseas. So that's another guard who's down. Brandon Williams' knee is not right from what I'm hearing. That's another guard down. Barcelo. So all of a sudden it's going to be the Nico Mannion show. And we're fine with the Nico Mannion show and Josh Green. But I don't know if Nico Mannion's show is going to go any longer than, I don't know, a year. Like, and I didn't see where Alex was going to play. If you're going to transfer out, probably should have done it in April. This isn't too late. But again, I don't know if he even wants to keep playing the game. I don't know that. And I'm just throwing that out there today. This is just my view on the whole thing. I don't know where he's heading. So that happened. Chuba Purdy. So the top quarterback in the state this year, you could debate that left, right. Is it Jack Miller? Is it Chuba? Is it Johnson? There's quarterbacks that have already made their commitments. I think Plummer over at Gilbert is terrific. But in the college recruiting world, there was a bunch of stuff floating around about Chuba Purdy and Arizona State. I'm actually going to defend Arizona State on this one, but I'm not going to rip the kid. Okay. So to back up, and for those of you that are the crazy alums or you're doing your website and you're trying to do analysis on how this all just worked out great for Arizona State because you don't want to piss off your people to come into your site for your clicks, this is what happened, okay? It's pretty simple. The kid is really good, really talented, different than his brother, different sort of quarterback, bigger physical specimen. This kid from the beginning felt as though that Louisville did the best job of recruiting him. It's not a swipe at Arizona State. Rob Likens built a great bridge, but I think, in my humble opinion, the bridge cannot be built just by one single coach. It's got to be the head coach and other coaches, my view. I also think this is another case of a high school quarterback wanting to get out of Arizona. So you cannot be critical of Arizona State on that. You can rip Arizona State to shreds, and you should, for how they mismanaged and screwed up the Brock Purdy and Tyler Shuck recruitment. And that will go down forever. I'll never let that one go. When they go play in the NFL, when they're done playing, it will still be brought up on my end. But I think that Arizona State did a very good job of recruiting here. It's just Louisville did a better job of recruiting, and I think they did a great job of showing, you know what, get out of state, come here, get it done. Chuba notified Arizona State on Wednesday afternoon that he wasn't coming. The last school that he notified that he wasn't going to attend was Kansas State. This came down to Kansas State and Louisville. This did not come down to Arizona State and Louisville. Let's be clear about that. Arizona State, Kansas, Michigan State, those were all eliminated. Even Boise State, a phone call was placed on Wednesday. So what does it take to keep a quarterback in Phoenix? What does it take to keep a hometown kid here? Because it's now just two that have stayed home in the last 20 years, two that have been able to play And one of them didn't end up on the field at all at Arizona State. And the other one just played for a short period of time. And I think he's going to be a Heisman Trophy candidate before it's all said and done. And that's Bryce Perkins, who's at Virginia. But for those of you that just want to get into the, well, ASU did a poor job. No, they didn't. They just didn't do as good a job as Louisville. That's all. We're all talked out. That's what I heard. Meaning we've talked enough on this one and we're going to move on. There's a school of thought out there that Arizona State does not want to keep local kids at home as much as they say they do, that it's PR driven. I don't buy that. I think they do want to keep kids at home. There's no question, though, that they know there are some in this state, some well-heeled big cigar boosters who write checks that have the decimal point way down the line, that want to make sure that kids decide to stay at home. So like Eric, the next big quarterback that's coming out is probably your guy over on the west side of town or down in Tucson, right? I mean, I don't think next year's quarterback class is as deep because we've had a terrific run here of quarterbacks.
Yeah, there's quite a few really, really good freshmen that are going to be sophomores. There's a whole list of them.
Okay.
Trayson Borgay, Adrian Lara at Desert Edge. There's a bunch of them.
Okay. So yeah. But
again, those are, again, we're trying to forecast how good they're going to be by the time they're seniors. And they have a chance. They all have a chance to be very good players.
This is not Spencer Rattler, Jack Miller territory.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, and you're not being critical of the kids. It's just
no.
It's just those two were a little different, and there's others that have. Brian Lewerke, of course, goes
sure.
to Michigan State, and he's playing. But just because a guy leaves state with huge, huge buildup, Kyle Allen, it didn't work out for Kyle Allen. It did not work out for Connor Brewer. It did not work out. You can go down the line of a lot of guys.
And Kyle Allen's path is just a unique one. I mean, he
made the NFL.
He is on an NFL roster right now. So.
And he actually finished the season.
He did. And he got hurt in the last game. Was playing
but he
really
played well.
He did.
Yeah.
Good old week 17. The good old week 17 season ending injury.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Dive.
Enjoy your offseason.
All right, Phil Steele's next. And then a little bit later in the show, we're going to get into Kawhi Leonard and the idea of recruitment of players and why we don't see that here in Phoenix. I'm Brad Sussmat. So while we are in the dead of summer here in Arizona, it's north of 100 degrees, many, many, many of you, thousands of you are going to be heading to the coast. Many, many, many of you need to stop in and do what we suggest every year, and that is pick up this, Phil Steele's College Football Preview, the 2019 edition, in my hot hands, on the presses, out for fans to get. Because when you're sitting in Carlsbad and you're having a cold one and you have over 300 pages of great stuff, and it's 25 years that Phil has been putting his effort, blood, sweat, and tears and time into all of this, he joins us for a few minutes. As always, we appreciate you coming on out here, Phil. And I guess, first of all, congratulations, 25 years. Did you ever think it was possible when you first started putting this together?
No, and you know what, Brad? I find it hard to believe it's been 25 years. It seems like just the other day we were starting this thing. So that's a pretty big number to have, and it's something I'm very proud of. And I like the fact that it seems like once somebody gets their hands on a copy of the Phil Steele College Football Preview, they need to have it every year in the future. So the main thing was getting it in people's hands when it came out the first time.
At Phil Steele 042 on Twitter, you can follow Phil Steele and pick up Phil Steele's College Football 2019 Preview. It is out now and available. All right, let's get right into it. We'll get to Arizona State and Arizona in a minute, but let's just get right into the national view of things. What separates Clemson from Alabama? Let's just start at the top and work our way back.
You know, very little. And going on way out on a limb with that Alabama-Clemson national title prediction, huh, Brett? But, you know, when I look at this, I see two teams that I'm wondering who's going to be the most explosive offense in the country, because it's going to be one and two, Alabama and Clemson, in some order. You know, you look at Clemson, I love their quarterback in Trevor Lawrence. He's got a really, you know, didn't take over the job till game five last year. Their running back core led by Travis Etienne is outstanding. I've got him as the number two receivers in the country, the number three offensive line. And I think that when you look at this overall, this is going to be one of the most explosive offenses. But Alabama has got Tua Tagovailoa, who is pretty much the Heisman winner all year last year until the actual Heisman came out. Then they've got the running back core, which while they lose their top guy, they're still loaded. Best set of receivers in the country, led by the Blednikoff finalist, Jerry Jeudy. And the offensive line, I rate coming into the country number six. So the big question is defense. And while Clemson loses those four studs to the NFL up front, still ranking the number five rated defensive line. They're going to be very solid on defense. I do give Alabama a slight edge defensively, and special teams I give the edge to Alabama. So two explosive offenses, slight edge to Bama on defense, edge on special teams. That's why I actually am calling for Alabama to win the title, but I think Clemson will open up the season preseason number one. They deserve to. They're going to run the table. They're going to be at least a 17-point favorite in every game, and they'll enter the playoff number one as well.
Give me a team, and I'm sure that you'll go down the usual path, but maybe not. A team, and as you've done your research here in the magazine, that you feel like, you know, Brad, this university is not that far behind Clemson and Alabama. It's not like the field is lapped like it used to. Is there a school that you look at, you're seeing and saying, you know what, they're starting to close the gap?
Well, I think there's numerous ones. I think Texas A&M is a team that in the future will have that gap formally closed with the way Jimbo Fisher's recruiting. In fact, when I talked to Coach Fisher this spring, went over his team, I said, Coach, I think I'm going to put you on the national cover next year. And the national cover is reserved for my four playoff teams, so keep your eyes on them. But one team for you this year, Brad, which keep your eyes on, and it's a team from way out of the blue. Nobody's talking about
it.
And that's the Utah Utes. Utah's been 7-6 and 9-5 the last 2 years. Remember last year they lost their starting quarterback, Tyler Huntley, to injury. They lost their star running back, Zach Moss, to injury. Both missed the final five games and were banged up prior to that. Well, they're back. The replacements are back. The offensive line looks solid. But what I love about them is last year I had Clemson my number one rated defensive line in the country. This year I've got Utah, my number one rated defensive line in the country. Watch Bradley Anae, Penasini, Fotu. They go 11 deep on the defensive line. Linebackers are solid. DBs are solid. Schedule gets softer. Last year they had to play the top four teams out of the North. This year they avoid two of them. And add it all up, I think Utah's got a shot at running the table and being that surprise team a non-top 10 team that can make the playoff. And last year my number one surprise team was the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Weren't ranked in the top 10 at the start of the year, but they made the playoff.
And that's why you're so good. I mean, pulling Utah out of your hat, you about had me fall off my chair. But it makes sense, Phil, when you go right through this. Talking with Phil Steele, college football is here upon us. The 2019 Phil Steele College Football Preview is out. Let's focus in on Arizona State and Arizona. Let's start first with the Wildcats. What do you see out of Kevin Sumlin's team in year two?
Well, I think the biggest thing we're going to see this year out of Arizona, and it really excites me as a college football fan, out of Arizona is Khalil Tate starting to look like the Khalil Tate you expected heading into last year. And while the coaching staff did a little put him more in the pocket, not the majority of the fact that Tate didn't run the football last year was the injuries. That guy was banged up all year. And now I think Tate will be 100%. Coach Sumlin is a guy that's going to take advantage of what he's got. And I think you're going to see Khalil Tate running the ball more. You team that with the diminutive J.J. Taylor running back. I mean, here's a guy that rushed for 1,400 yards, 5.5 yards per carry. The offensive line looks solid. They've got a couple NFL potential guys on the offensive line, which I like. Their tight end, Bryce Woolman, is going to get utilized more. This offense, if Tate, it looks like the Tate he did a couple years ago, could be a top 10 offense. Defensively, I rate them number 50 overall, which is an improvement over what they've been in years past. I really like Colin Schooler at the linebacker spot, Christian Young at strong safety, Jalen Harris, defensive end. These are all big-time guys. And I think when you look at Arizona, they're a team that despite playing a somewhat difficult schedule, I mean, they could be an underdog in as many as five games. The Tate factor is really what excites me.
Yeah, last year they blew an 18-point lead in the fourth quarter to Arizona State. Everybody on the Sun Devil side has been excited about that. Wildcat fans have been devastated. Do you feel as though that Arizona State in year two under Herm Edwards is able to move further ahead? Because, Phil, last season I'd say they were one of the surprise teams in the country for what they're able to accomplish.
Yeah, a lot of folks didn't expect anything out of Arizona State last year. You know, Herm Edwards, what are they doing? Are they out of their minds? And look what Arizona State did. And I recently just watched the Arizona State game over again. It sure looked like Arizona had that one in their pocket almost all the game. Well, like you said, a blown 18-point fourth quarter lead there. Here's what I like about Arizona State. First of all, I like the coordinators. You know, Rob Likens, offense coordinator, Danny Gonzalez, defense coordinator, both did a solid job. Gonzalez's defense is tough to prepare for in the 3-3-5, and he's got seven returning starters back. They had so many true freshmen last year. I mean, Merlin Robertson missing the bowl game I thought was big against Fresno because he was such a playmaker all season long as a true freshman. I look for huge things out of him. Chase Lucas at corner, another guy that was a freshman last year, and Crosswell at the DB spot. So this is a defense that I think is even better than last year. Offensively, your biggest question is who is going to be that quarterback. I mean, Manny Wilkins was a solid veteran QB last year, threw for 3,000 yards with the 20-6 ratio, and it really was a toss-up all spring long. But I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels. The first thing I like to comment on the quarterbacks, love the fact that you have these three true freshmen coming in the year of the transfer portal. They're all still there. That's amazing. But I think when you look at Jaden Daniels, he's a guy that's going to step in and do well as a true freshman. He's got Eno Benjamin to hand off to. Pretty good receiving core. I know they lose the top guy in Harry, but Ayuk coming back is big. And the offensive line looks pretty solid. Arizona State probably a little better schedule than Arizona. In fact, they get Arizona at home. They get USC at home. They get Washington State at home. So a couple of tough ones. But they played well last year. Remember, most of their losses by seven or less last year. So this is interesting Arizona State team.
Phil Steele with us. Phil Steele's College 2019 football preview is out. Great summer reading with the Pac-12 media days coming up just around the corner. And then before you know it, the season will be underway. Before I get you out of here, if you look at the Pac-12 top to bottom, north, south, a team or two you like, a team or two you may say, you know, Brad, I could see them taking a step back this year.
Well, as far as the team I like, you go to the north, and it is clearly Utah. I'm all over Utah this year. I think with that defensive line, they're going to, they're going to surprise. But I also think a surprise team this year might be USC. And for Clay Helton's sake, it's got to be.
Got to be,
They're coming off a 5-7 season. But they have talent. They're actually one of the few teams in the country that rank in my top units in all eight position categories. So keep your eyes on those guys. And then out of the north, naturally, I think Oregon's probably the most talented team in the north. You're looking at my number one rated offensive line in the country, perhaps the top quarterback taken in the draft. The thing I don't like about Oregon this year is their schedule. They have to play Washington, USC, Arizona State, Stanford, all on the road. They also open up with Auburn. So I think that's going to make it difficult, but I believe they have a good shot at winning there. And then the team that might take a step back, I'm going to go with Washington State. And as much as I like the talent, and as much as I like the fact that they have a brand-new quarterback in Gabe Gubrod, who's probably a more accomplished QB than the transfer they had last year, the thing I don't like with Washington State is the schedule. I mean, look at their road slate last year. They played four road games in the Pac-12. Only one of their road opponents had a winning record last year. Well, this year, you look at their road slate. Now they're playing five road games in the Pac-12. Washington, Oregon, Arizona State, Utah, and Cal. All five teams were in bowls last year. Yeah. So I think the tougher road schedule will have Washington State coming off that 11-win level that they got last year and coming down some, even though they might be just as talented as last year's edition.
I'll tell you this, and I'll let you go off that with a thought, and that is Oregon opening with Auburn. Phil, this conference has got to get it figured out because it just got to. So there's a need for more of these big-time games. I think Oregon-Auburn to open up the season, it's a real measuring stick because nationally the Pac-12 is getting lapped by these other conferences.
Yeah, you go back to last year's Washington opening up with Auburn, and that was the big opportunity that the Pac-12 had, and Washington came up short. And I will say I'm a national analyst. The last 2 years, I've had the Pac-12 rated as my number five out of the five Power Five conferences. So they've deserved to rank in that spot each time. But this year, Brad, I actually am up there at number three. I like the overall talent we got coming back. As mentioned, I'm really high on Utah, Oregon. A team like Washington, who would probably be the favorite to win the Pac-12 North in my magazine in other years, I've got them coming in second. So this, I think you're going to see better Pac-12 football, but I agree with you wholeheartedly. Oregon's got to knock off Auburn if there's going to be any national respect, or it's going to be same old Pac-12, and no matter what the Pac-12 does the rest of the year, everybody will have that thought.
Yeah, you've got the Arizona State game at Michigan State. You've got the Notre Dame-Stanford, the Notre Dame-USC matchups, but you've got to take care of those national games where there are eyeballs on the conference.
Absolutely.
Let you go off that, Phil. Appreciate the time and insight as always. Thanks.
All right, Brett. A lot of fun as always, my friend.
Good deal. There's Phil Steele. The College 2019 Football Preview Magazine is out and is great content for you to check out. Sports360AZ.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. So thanks again to Phil Steele for being with us. Eric, were you surprised that he put Utah? I think any school in the Pac-12 as the team to watch, when I have Phil Steele on, I'm fully expecting like the Big 12 to roll in, or I was not expecting Utah.
Yeah, Utah's
about fell out of my chair.
Consistently good to above average. I mean, they did play in the Pac-12 championship game last year. I know it was from the South.
Who saw that game, by the way?
I don't know.
20 people.
I do know Byron Murphy was the player of the game, and he's coming in studio tomorrow, so that's a nice tie-in.
Wow. It's a good plug.
Don't be late.
Don't be late.
I know.
Are you excited for the college season? Some years, I think, when you and I sit together, I know you're a college fan.
Am I excited for the college season? Is water wet?
Look. I'm kind of in this space where while I'm excited to see what goes on, especially in this state, the Alabama-Clemson thing just wears me out. And when I see Alabama in their next to last game, I have Western Carolina, and nobody does anything about it. And I see that they have two byes during the season. They play three games, they take a bye. They play three games, they take a bye. They have Western Carolina before they play Auburn. It's like they have every advantage set up. So their non-conference has South Carolina, not non-conference, but South Carolina is their second game of the season. And then it's just games are going to walk through. New Mexico State is playing at Alabama this year.
But until someone beats them, they're the best.
No, but until college football gets a commissioner that says, we're not going to do this. We're not going to just let every school have their own set of rules. That's where I'm at on this.
It's going to be tough because the small schools need the big schools because the big schools the small schools.
No, you're right. You're right. Okay, you're right on that. But there's got to be other ways to use a funding mechanism rather than a team just saying, we're going to set up our schedule so that we can play every year in the championship game. Other than Auburn, or maybe they get tested in one game. Come on. I think fans want to see the intersectional games. Why don't we see Notre Dame, Alabama? Why don't we see Oklahoma, Alabama? Why don't we see USC? We saw USC, Alabama a few years ago, right? Like Arizona State play Michigan State. That's right. That's a good intersectional national appeal game. Let's see more of those. Auburn opening with Oregon. Yeah, let's see that. But I see this one program that sits over there. And I'm sure that our former good friend, Greg Byrne, would I like Greg, but after this rant, he'll never come on. But I'm sure he would have his explanations and his reasonings that, look, the SEC is not that, you know, the schools are what they are. We just play who's on the schedule. I don't know. Reach a little bit. Play some people. That's my thing. And the Connecticut story over the weekend, Connecticut ends up leaving their conference. They're going to now join.
If approved, yes.
If approved. But there's going to be this whole conference realignment shift coming. It's coming. When TV contracts expire, back in the day, nobody thought the Pac-8 was going to go to the Pac-10 or then the Pac-12. And it did. And I've read now, and people much smarter than me that believe it could be a Pac-20. And if it's Connecticut that is the tipping point, you and I had a discussion off the air that when the Southwest Conference went to the Big 12, and it was doom and gloom, and nothing good was going to happen of this. Now that conference is far superior to what's going on out here.
And well, it's like Nebraska. Nebraska was in the Big 12 football. They were fine. They go to the Big 10. They're making tons of money playing in the Big 10, and the football program really isn't any different than it was in the Big 12. But they're just collecting so much more money jumping from the Big 12 to the Big 10.
And their football is not as good as Ohio State's or Michigan's.
No.
And they're playing a game against Maryland. It's like, what conference am I watching? This makes no sense to me.
I think Nebraska has a chance to be good with Scott Frost again. But to think that a power program like Nebraska has not played in a championship game, a conference championship game since 1999, is just mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, and yet they have gobs of fans that show up in huge numbers. But it's like Texas, you know. I think is Texas starting to get back in the right space?
Sure.
And so, you know, a conference where I'll use Arizona State and Arizona as an example. I've written this. This isn't me just throwing darts. And there's other people. Greg Hansen's written it at the Daily Star, too. Arizona State and Arizona need to consider getting out of the Pac-12. When they go into this new stretch of conference realignment, when the TV deals expire the next couple of years, what is the advantage, other than you have LA in your backyard, for Arizona State and Arizona? They're still going to go in there and get kids, versus if they were to go into the Big 12. Is it a shorter flight to Manhattan, Kansas, and Pullman? Yeah. Is it a shorter flight into Lawrence? Yeah. Is it a shorter flight to Lubbock? Yeah.
But it's not a shorter flight to Morgantown. But you only
it's
have to make,
not
that.
A shorter
have
flight
to make
Morgantown.
That once a year.
Is it a better television contract?
Well, that's where you hit the nail on the head. What's the two highest grossing conferences, the SEC and the Big Ten? What do those two conferences have in common? They have the best TV network.
And so when things start to change, I would like to sit with Michael Crow and or Ray Anderson and just have a discussion of, please don't laugh me off here. It's like why GCU is not in the West Coast Conference. It's because the presidents of the West Coast Conference, the presidents of the Santa Claras and the USFs and the Portlands, don't want a school in there that charges $30,000 for tuition versus the $60,000, $70,000 of Pepperdine, Loyola Marymount, and others. And so it's the presidents that don't want that to happen. Thus, GCU is stuck every year with New Mexico State until they get a new conference, which I think is going to come. It's just an interesting time. It's just an interesting time, the college, and I appreciate Phil coming on. All right, so one other thing in this segment, and then we're going to talk to Eric about something cool that he did over the weekend. NBA free agency starts this coming weekend, this Sunday. There are many of you that were very upset with what happened with what the Suns did in the draft last week. When you go from leadership voice to leadership voice to leadership voice, wherever you're working right now or consuming this, if your company has gone through, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 general managers and bosses / head coaches, look at what the Suns have done in the last 9 years in their commitment to incompetence run, where they've done nothing right. Look at where it's gone. Look at the people that have come in and screwed this thing up. And so when you have a change at the top, and Robert's not going anywhere, nor should he. Robert's making a gobs of money, and he's an owner. And until the NBA steps in, which they're not going to do, Robert's got his rights. He's the owner of the team. It's his franchise. But if he wants to win, you have to settle in on some people that you believe are competent. I've felt all along that a combination of Alvin Gentry and David Griffin 9 years ago would have been the right way to go. Didn't happen. So those two are killing it down in New Orleans now. Griff's gone on. Yeah, he had LeBron James, but he had to get pieces around him to win a title. Robert has hired Riff and Raff, guys he had no business being in the front office. They were just buddies, pals, sucked up to him. I don't know what it was, but people had no earthly idea what they're doing. I happen to think that James Jones is a pretty darn good, astute hire by Robert. He's going to have learning curve on the way, okay? You have to surround him with people that can make those moves work and be that voice in his mind. I think having Monty Williams, after everything that Monty Williams has been through as a person, and he's already been a head coach, and he's a better coach now than he was in New Orleans by his own admission. I think Monty Williams getting an opportunity here in Phoenix, the combination is a smart one. So here's the thing, guys. You can rip all day long on what the Suns are doing, but remember, it's another change at the top. It's another change on the bench in year after year. So when those people come in, they want their own guys. Maybe, just maybe, Monty Williams is trying to put together a roster that's not just 1 through 7. Maybe it's a roster of 1 through 10, 1 through 11. Of guys that have certain roles. And so until this gets played out with free agency in the draft, I had a friend of mine call me this morning. He said, how many wins do you think the Suns are going to get next year? And I said, 30. He said, do you think that'd be a big improvement? I said, from 19 to 30, sure it would. Tough conference, tough division. But I don't know. What I don't know is, what are the other moves still to come? I don't know that. And you don't know that. You can throw out all sorts of names of who could come here. I think Ricky Rubio would be a fine addition at point guard. I really do. That's just me. But maybe there's something beyond that that they're going to try to reach and make happen. And then it's, well, you know what? That's a 35-38 win team. Well, but the West is so deep. Yeah, it is. My point on this is just let the process go out. It's June 24th. And so you can rip all day long on they don't know what they're doing and all that until you see the finished product and understand that, again, you have a new voice at the top in GM and a new voice on the bench at coach, and they're going to want their own guys in here. I don't think people are giving them a shot. It's just same old boobs being the Suns, and I'm not sure about that. I'm not. And I've been as critical as anybody. You know, it's not like I'm on their payroll. It's not like I'm carrying their games and saying, oh, everything's great. No problems here. Like, right, sure. All right. Back with Eric's adventure, which is a cool one, I think, and that's next. So I wish back on the Suns, I'm going to get to Eric here, but I wish the Suns were relevant enough to have billboard companies step up and say, let's start a campaign to bring somebody here to show how much we care about them. I'm sure that there was that. There was probably planning meetings for the big Hakeem Warrick billboard display or the big Josh Childress billboard run. Whew. This brings me to Kawhi Leonard. So somebody in L.A., and the Clippers say it's not them, but somebody in L.A. has put up these billboards of...
May not be them directly that did it.
You think somebody with their marketing department just...
I mean, these, you know how these deals get done.
Kawhi, how about that? And you thought it might be somebody's car and they just took a picture of him?
Wasn't necessarily anyone in the organization, but it could have been someone's cousin of someone that's related to someone in the front office of the Clippers organization.
Hashtag Kawhi2LAC. A team spokesman. The Clippers know nothing. Yeah, I know that. That's kind of their MO through the years, but at least it used to be. So, but we don't have that going on here in Phoenix, unfortunately. It's too bad. But at some point, I'm hopeful, at some point, somebody is going to step up and say, you know what, we deserve better than this, and we're going to make a big push, and we're going to do some things differently. Because after all, if they can win a title in Toronto, they can win a title anywhere. So Eric this weekend did something. I was very proud of you, by the way. Eric decided to stretch outside of sports this week. It doesn't mean we don't have lives. We're on the run. We do things with sports, pro, college, high school here in Arizona. But I like a culture of, you know, show me a little something different. And so you pulled me aside last week and said you volunteered. You're going to go volunteer. How did you volunteer? It's with animals. Eric is an enormous pet lover. Your pet loving days started with?
When I was really, really little, my parents got a rescue dog, and that kind of started it all.
So you aren't a rescue dog.
I think it was actually a stray, and then from then on, we've just had rescue dogs.
So you've had rescue dogs. You yourself have how many?
Two.
And their names are?
Addison and Lucy.
Addison and Lucy. And
pride of the Durango Animal Shelter in South Phoenix, as I like to say.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you decided, why don't you just fill people in on what you're doing?
So after months of considering and figuring out excuses not to do it, I actually decided to volunteer at the local Halo shelter. It's a no-kill shelter that's right down the street from my house.
So when you say Halo, fill me in on this. I don't know what Halo is.
Halo is, they've been around for 25 years, and they take in pets, and they keep pets, and you can foster pets if you'd like. And it's dogs and cats. And
you're not a cat person, though.
I'm not, but I don't.
Are you allergic to them, or
no, I like dogs more, but I'm not. I'm not against
cats.
You're
not anti-cat.
No, I'm not anti-cat.
Yeah.
So yesterday morning, I had my orientation, and there was, like, I think I told you off the air, there's 25 people in orientation, which is about twice as many as they usually get.
So Sunday morning, you've got to go to this shelter down the street from your house.
Yep.
To volunteer to help with adoption. Clean up.
All kinds of stuff. Walking the dogs. Yesterday I did dog socialization, which was great. Like, yeah. Basically, you just go in one of these pens, and every 10 minutes, they just bring a dog in, and you just sit there and play with the dogs and pet the dogs. It was just like the most therapeutic thing I've done in several weeks.
Really?
So, yeah, it was great.
This isn't therapy?
No.
Okay.
I mean, no.
This work. So
I don't have to do it. I don't think Sunday will be my day. Basically, you can volunteer for as many hours as you want, whatever day you want. They have like a Google Calendar that you just go in and kind of put in where you want to work and when you can work, and you just go from there.
So. You didn't want to adopt any of these dogs?
I wanted to adopt all of them, but I can't afford it, and that would be a horrible life decision.
And so the people that are there, they're well-intentioned, nice people, a lot of them. I'm sure there's people from all walks and all shapes and all sizes, but these are animal lovers, so you're in a unique environment. And you're trying to change the world for pets. You're trying to do something. So are these people, these animals just thrown out of cars and dropped off and left and strays? And how's that work?
Some of them come from other locations around the valley before they're euthanized. So Halo will take them in and keep them and try to find homes for them. The adoption fees at Halo are a little bit more expensive because they are completely a nonprofit organization.
Yeah.
So all the money that they get off the adoptions, they put back into the facility, and it's really nice. I mean, it's air conditioned, it's clean, it's just it's an impressive setup. So I look forward to volunteering the rest of the summer.
You know, you know what's going to happen. You're going to come in one day and say, "Yeah, so I got another dog." It's going to happen.
No, I don't think so.
It's going to happen.
I mean, like I told you, I wanted to rescue all the dogs in there. But
that's great. That's great. No, I'm proud of you. I think that's cool.
Thanks.
That's cool. It's good stuff. All right. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Eric is always senior executive vice president of Everything or Nothing. We're going to head over to the website now and work on content at sports360az.com. Our television show on Fox Sports Arizona, minimum of 12 airings per week. We cut a new episode every Tuesday. We'll work on that. We are self-funded. That means as we step away from this, you'll see some commercials. These are companies that believe in what we do, and we appreciate their support. We're 8 years into it. We're Arizona-centric pro college and high school. Have a great day.